Hi, and thanks for tuning in. I'm Dr. Sharif Moore of the Drug-Free America Foundation, and this is the Pathways to Prevention podcast, where we discuss some of the most innovative and inspiring work being done around the world in substance use prevention, treatment, and recovery. Joining us today is Augusto Nogueira, the Executive Director of ARTM, the Association of Rehabilitation of Drug Abusers of Macau. ARTM provides evidence-based therapeutic and holistic programs aimed at achieving recovery from alcohol and drugs. ARTM follows the therapeutic community model, which works with the four pillars of prevention, treatment, harm reduction as part of the continuum of care, and policy advocacy. Augusto, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So to start us off, I'd just like to learn a little bit about your own personal journey and how you came to work in the field of substance use prevention and treatment.
Well, I was an ex-former user. So I went to rehab in Portugal in 1992. Through the process, we opened some departments in Macau and in Hong Kong, and after I volunteered myself to come to help, I mean to continue my rehabilitation at some time to help in the model of the community center. So I came in. I came in 94 over here, and then during the process until 99, I stayed in charge of Macau. Then we split from Portugal. Then I changed the name to the current name, ARTM. And during all these years, I've been working in the prevention, harm reduction, treatment, drug policy. And suddenly we opened these projects as a continuation of many other projects that we already opened.
So as I was looking at your website, I was very impressed with some of the programs that you have at ARTM. For example, your aftercare program, which follows people after they've completed treatment, your youth prevention program, the Be Cool program. So it was very impressive.
We divide into the outreach department. One is aftercare and the other one is the needle syringe program. And we are responsible for zero new infections for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So we don't have any HIV infection in the last 5 years in Macau on people that inject drugs. In Be Cool, we are responsible for all the prevention, drug prevention to the, mainly with a focus on the foreign communities. I'll say the Portuguese communities, the English, the Australians, the Filipinos, Vietnam. So we are responsible to provide a counseling and prevention to them. Yeah, and then we have the treatment center, which we have for female and male. That we use a TC model.
So how would you characterize the drug problem in Macau? What are the main drugs of abuse?
Currently, it's methamphetamine. Last 1 year, 2 years, there's increase of cocaine in Macau. Obviously, the main drug previously was heroin. That was the main one through many years. Then start to have a reduce, like happened in everywhere in the world. And then we have ketamine for a period of time, and then disappear. Ketamine, since 2 years ago, it's not more relevant. And then we have the increase of methamphetamine and cocaine. So currently, these two drugs are the main concern.
So then Macau is following the trends found in the rest of Asia, where you see the shift away from opioids towards amphetamine-type stimulants. And of course, one of the challenges posed by that is, unlike opioid use disorder, we don't have effective medications to treat stimulant use disorders. One of the things that I really think sets ARTM apart from other treatment programs is your aftercare program, in which patients very much remain a part of the therapeutic community long after they finish detox and treatment. Can you tell us a little bit more about your aftercare program and how it works?
Sure. How aftercare is divided into one, it's the people that they left, they finished the treatment center over here, or they left without the accomplished 1 year program. We suggest them, and or some we suggest, and some they have to go because they are under court order. They still need to go to the aftercare, but some we suggest. So anyway, for us, doesn't matter if we accomplish 1 year or not accomplish 1 year. We always suggest to go to the aftercare because we take in principle that he's not using drugs when he leaves the center, of course. So we suggest him to have continuation in aftercare to see if we can help him to maintain away from drugs, right? So we have the people that they finish the treatment center or they're in the treatment center that we suggest to go to the aftercare. And then those ones that they accomplished the treatment program for 1 year, they can leave the center, they can go, but they still need to have the follow-up in aftercare through the urine test and counseling sessions. So we need to build the reports and to send to the courts during a period of time that the court has decided they need to continue the probation. And then we have on aftercare, those ones, they are on methadone, that they need to go there to the aftercare to have the counseling sessions and to some of them to make urine tests, where we try to help them to be stabilized on the methadone and avoid them to have mutual consumption. In terms of the job, I mean, for us, it's very important when the people leave the center, they leave already with a job.
Yeah.
So before we have the place Hold On To Hope, what we are doing, we are in the last 3 months of the program, we allow them to find jobs. The difference from before is that we go with them. We don't go specific to the interview, but we go until the door to make sure that this is true, right? Sometimes, you know, people say things and then we give them some trust and then they are not going. And so to make sure that this, we go with them and to make sure that they are going to the interview, and that interview is a decent job. Because in Macau, there's this tendency also of the people to get jobs in the let's say in the mafia, like loan sharks. So right. we want to avoid to them to go to this kind of jobs. So we go with them, we give follow up to them, and then if everything is true and they accept, then we allow them to go work and return to the center end of the day until they. They make 1 year or 13 months, 14, then they can go. The idea is for them when they leave the center, they can have already some pocket money so they can rent a house or rent a room so they can live, right? And then we have some collaboration also with another institution called NOAA, which they have some jobs like wash cars and wash bus stops. If they want, they also can ask for support to this association, and then they can go there and they come back to the RTM to sleep. But now we open this Hold On To Hope project that is it's open to everyone. It's like a learning skills for vocational training. So where the people, they can go there, they can learn how to, some of them, they can learn how to cook, or how to serve, how to make a coffees. So they're having training from the food and beverage sectors of hotels, like the Wynn, McLean, the MGM. So they are training them how to make coffees and to prepare the food, the hygiene as well. So by this, when they can get hopefully in the In the future, we are working on that because now, because of the COVID, there's no nobody's giving jobs to nobody. But one of those.
Do you have contacts in those industries? In those
We have formal. I mean, so actually, I came here to give training to us, and sometimes our coffee machine have problems. So we ask them support. They came and they help us to fix the machine. So the idea is in the future, some of them, they can go work to the casinos, to these hotels, on the food or beverage. I'll not say maybe in any position that they can think that could be better to give them job, right? So that is the one. The final objective is that people can go. So of course we need to have some situations in consideration because of the crime criminal record. They are a little bit strict on that, but we are. But for some kind of jobs, they waive that.
Yes.
So that is the main. So, and even also if they cannot go to these hotels, at least they have some basic skills that they can go work in other restaurants. At least they know how to have some principles, how to serve, how to cook, how to manage the food, how to make the coffee. So how to clean the tables, to have this kind of skills, and help them to have the contact with the society, have move them away from the small narrow gathering that they always have, which is with the ex users, so they can move away from that. They can they have start to socialize and with the other people. They're having communication with other people, receiving as well. And I think that's a very important praise from the people when they come. They say the cakes are very good. The coffee is good. They say thank you to them. Keep going. So all these give praise to the people, which they should make them feel proud of their what they are achieving. And they can see something that growing up, because that place, Hold On To Hope, it's a former leprosarium place. So it's a historic place in Macau, and which was dead for many years. Many years was dead that place, and we are giving life to that place with the coffee, there, the cafe there, with the art gallery there. We run also by them, so you can see something flourishing, something growing up. With their effort, so we work on that base, so they can feel the self-satisfaction and support when they hopefully when they go out, they can have different life without drugs.
Now, is drug use really stigmatized and frowned upon in Macau?
Kind of, yes, kind of is stigmatized because the. For the Chinese, having someone using drugs is a losing face in the family. So they'll take this very in consideration. So so the tendency to hide that problem, or even sometimes they have kids, sons or daughters with mental problems, they also, for them, is also losing face. So that's why we have a lot of people, kids, living in institutions meant for mental issues, not there in their home. So it's kind of stigmatized. But with this, but we are very surprised with this project because we have a lot of people coming to the cafe during the week and the weekends a lot, and they know what is about. We also understand that maybe because now Macau is small, there's a COVID, we cannot go anywhere. So people is coming to this new area, let's say. But we open in December, already March, and we continue having a lot of people coming and supporting us. A lot of media also giving us attention. So it's been very good. So we think that the community in the end start to have a different conception about the people that use drugs, about how they should support recovery and giving and praising them. So not only the you know, the big companies like Wind and MGM supporting us, but the normal citizen coming over here and then they post some positive message in our Instagram or in some application, Chinese application, they post the photos and they congratulate us, and that shows that it's that switching is shifting for a better opinion about the people that use Drex. And of course, we are using that also when we speak in the media to emphasize that, so we can people can move away from the this mind sector of the punishment and sending to the prison is the right thing.
So they can see it more as a health issue, a public health issue, and not a criminal issue.
Yes, that is our objective. I mean, RTM objective is that everyone that uses drugs that should not go to the prison and should be given alternatives. So currently there's a kind of it's easy to be sent to the prison, and we are trying to show through these projects, or not to hope, that it's not necessary, that the people can recover from drugs and they have learning skills and they can learn things and can go back with the good results.
And it's probably more cost effective too, you know, sending somebody to treatment and training them versus incarcerating them.
Exactly. Yeah, we know that because with Macau for a while they have no problem, money problem, so that was they didn't get the match.
Oh, right. Now, are most of your clients court ordered, or do you get people also that voluntarily?
We get the voluntary, we get court order, we get the referral from the psychiatrist. I have to say, upstairs in Hold On to Hope, I mean, if it's not mandatory. So if the people say I don't want to go to the cafe because I don't want to show my face, so that is okay. We're not forced. Nobody. It's just volunteer.
I see. And do you encourage the clients to attend 12-step meetings?
No. We are not using the 12-step meetings, but because in Macau we don't have the 12-step meetings. And we did have someone from Hong Kong coming over here for some meetings, which we allowed, no problem. But it was not very regular, and depends of the if they have someone that speaks Chinese that could translate. So sometimes they have, sometimes they don't have. And now since the COVID, nobody can travel to Macau to Hong Kong, Hong Kong to Macau. So for 1 year we are not having. But we always allowed before. We have this guy coming not regularly, once a month to have some meetings, NA meetings with our clients, which is okay. We have no problem with that. Okay. But in Macau we don't have anyone with expertise on the 12 steps.
Can you tell us a little more about Hold On to Hope and some of the art projects that the clients are involved in?
So we hope we are also training, not training, but giving some workshops to them, like making some leather things, other things. So we hope that in the future we also can host an exhibition in our Hold On to Hope gallery, exhibition of their art products. Actually, we already have one. We already have three exhibitions, and one it's artworks. The first one was artworks made by the people here in the RTM, and also together with with the China. So we have around 60 artworks made in China treatment centers that they sent to us. So we have this exhibition where we show the artwork made by the people in the rehab in the RTM in China. So it was very positive. We cooperate with, I think, with more than 20 treatment centers from China.
Wow.
The money, it's a fundraising, let's say. So the 25% it will be for RTM, and the remainder it will be for them. So actually, China, each one made the price that they want for the art, and that's the money we give back. So it was very good, because when the people come to see, they are not expecting such many beautiful works Other people in rehab, some very good paintings and very good sculptures. So it was very success. The second exhibition was only artworks made by in the RTM, paintings and sculptures. So we have a ceramic machine over here. We have everything. And together with our with one of our monitors, because he's also a painter, so we make together, like Raul is his name, and his student. So we joined together his exhibition with our client exhibition. And the third one is the current one. Is it's not with our residents, but it's exhibition of the place. As I told you, the cow, this place, the name is Cow Hole. It's a former leprosy, so many was very abandoned for many years. So there's a very old photos, people talk. So we collect a lot of these old photos together with new photos from the new time. And then we make this exhibition. I mean, we ask the people to donate some photos if they want. And then we make this exhibition from these, you know, old and new photos. So it's very, very beautiful. So very here also, the people, the girl is working there in that gallery. It's a recovery as well. So she's the one in charge of, you know, to be the guide of the gallery, taking care of the gallery. And then once again, who dismantled and who set up the thing, it's the people in the center. It's mm-hmm. the people in the recovery that we, together with my colleague Raul, that they learn how to set up, how to dismantle, how to pack, just pack the things, how to put the you know, to make the best setting of the pictures. So they're also learning once again how to set up in the set up and dismantle and to take care of the products in an art gallery. So yeah, so it's so, and we have our curator, which is an artist herself. So she also comes to help. So we have a professional help on this. So they know that they are learning with the right persons.
Right. Is she in recovery as well or no?
The curator, no. She's not. So she's not. But
but she's an expert in that.
She's an expert in art, and we need some expert in art so we can. Yeah, and she's teaching the. So soon we're going to open more two houses, more two leprosy houses. We're going to transform more two. One to be to transform in the Life Cafe library, so where the people can have some books and have the coffee. It's like a support to the coffee shop, but also if you want to speak about something, if we can have a small workshop, a small talk about the environment, protection of the environment, of the protection of animals. So we can make this mini exhibition and the people can be there, sit down, having a coffee and listen, either physically or through the online. And then the other house, it will be for a family bonding. Let's say that we're going to painting ceramic, painting canvas together with, the kids, they can go there, they can paint some heritage of Macau or China or the world, or some just the hero. So it's more a place that the kids can have a nice moment. But it will be run by the recovery people as well.
That is fantastic. And what a great way to, you know, engage the community and then also tap into the talents, you know, of your clients.
Yeah.
Well, Gosto, it was really, truly a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your invitation. Thank you to Amy as well for for this invitation. And if you need photos, anything I can send from the place, it's okay.
Okay. And I look forward to following up with you again in the future and seeing how, you know, your program is growing and coming along.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll let you know. I'll keep in touch so you know how the things are going.
All right. Sounds good. Até a próxima.
Até a próxima. Thank you, Sharif. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.